Assalamu alaikum, caller, you're on the air.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much for that talk, Sheikh. Very inspirational. I've got one question.
Yes, go ahead.
As I was growing up, I wasn't aware of any of these madhabs, and I think I was brought up with the Hanafi madhab, who don't raise their hands when they go for sujood and ruku. And I was reading the English version of the Bukhari, radiallahu anhu, and he describes the raising of the hands there, and I'm following that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to know, although I didn't follow the madhab, that's how I was taught, and reading the translation, and especially the description in the Bukhari, obviously, would have known that I would have asked my teachers why we're omitting that, basically, or omitting that. So if I choose to follow that, although it's not 100% of my madhab, is there any problem in doing that? I know some scholars said that if you have evidence, we could opt for that and stuff. So I'm sure you understand what I'm talking
yes,
about.
Yes, yeah. Yes, okay, I understand, yes. Okay. So this is a very common question, a question that every single practicing Muslim faces as soon as they begin practicing, and that is what is to be done with all of these different madhabs out there. So realize, my dear brother in Islam, and my dear sisters that are watching, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, realize that these differences of the legal schools, they in fact predominantly go back to the Sahaba themselves. That the bulk of the differences between the Shafi'i, the Hanafi, the Maliki, the Hanbali school, they actually go back to the earliest generations, the Sahaba, the Tabi'un. And each one of them, they attempted to basically preserve the Sunnah that they were able to do so. Therefore, in our times, we need to be very careful that we don't look down at the madhahib, that we don't discourage, or we don't make fun of, or we don't make firqa, we don't break the community over legal issues. I want to say this as explicitly as possible. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish a lay Muslim for being a Hanafi or non-Hanafi, or being a Shafi'i or a Maliki or a Ghair Muqallid or Ahli Hadith. Allah azza wa jal will not punish a person for following a legal school that he thought was a valid school. These are not the issues that we should be dividing ourselves over, whether to say Ameen out loud or not, whether to raise the hands or not. Every one of these positions, you will find evidence from the Sahaba and Tabi'un. Every one of these, you will find evidence from the earliest of generations, and therefore, we need to have a more academic approach and not an emotional approach. Now, in theory, one can say that the average Muslim is not qualified to go back to the Quran and Sunnah directly and needs a tutor or needs a mentor or needs a scholar or a guide. So let me give you an example. I am not a medical doctor. So when I am sick or when a loved one is sick, what do? I don't just open up the books of medicine and then I tell the person, take this medicine, or I tell myself to take this medicine. I go to somebody who has trained in the sciences, who has trained in medicine, and then I ask their advice. Similarly, the one who does not have an Islamic training, he or she must go to a scholar. And that scholar is therefore considered to be trustworthy in these issues. So, if that scholar follows a madhab, so if your teacher is Hanafi, then alhamdulillah you will stick to the Hanafi madhab. And if that scholar believes that he or she is qualified to research the opinions and then choose an opinion that they feel stronger about, then this is something that is permitted for the alim, for the one who has studied the religion, it is permitted to do, and for you as a lay person, you are allowed to follow this alim. So, the bottom line, and again, we can give a whole long lecture about this, and lectures have been given. The bottom line, your job, my dear brother in Islam, your job is to find the scholar that is accessible to you, that you trust the most in his sincerity, and that you feel is the most knowledgeable. These are the three simple conditions. There has to be access. Don't just find somebody online. Somebody that you can communicate with, explain your situation and scenarios to. Number one. Number two, that you feel is a genuine muttaqi. Now you have no way of knowing this, but you will judge. Is he praying regularly? Do you find him to be a person who avoids the haram? He lives a halal life. So this is a muttaqi. And then number three, that you feel him to be genuinely knowledgeable of the Sharia. Once you find somebody of this nature, then the legal madhabs or the legal schools of law or the legal questions, this is not now your business to say where did you get it from and what is your evidence. Just like you do not question the doctor when the doctor writes a prescription for you, you trust the training of the doctor. But before you walk into his office, you have to make sure, where has he studied? Does he have qualifications? Does he have a positive reputation? This is what is known. Once you know that, okay, this is a doctor, the whole community trusts his medicine. He has a stellar record, he has a good track record. Similarly, there are scholars there, they have good track records. And you will find your scholar, and you will then stick with that scholar. And that scholar then, he may either follow a madhab, he may give you his own opinion. But the bottom line, you cannot just derive it directly from the Quran and Sunnah, because you have not trained. Now if you were to train, then alhamdulillah. Just like I have not trained in medicine, I cannot just open up a book of neurosurgery and open up my neurosurgery clinic. That would not happen, would it? Similarly, you too must find the trained scholar. Allah says in the Quran, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. So once you have asked a person of knowledge, you do not know, you ask the person of knowledge, then alhamdulillah, whatever he tells you, it is fine and it is good. So if your sheikh says, do رَفْعِ يَدَيْن, then do رَفْعِ يَدَيْن. And if your sheikh says, don't do رَفْعِ يَدَيْن, then don't do رَفْعِ يَدَيْن. Whatever you do, don't break up the community, don't have an argument, don't fight, don't have any ill will in your heart against somebody who follows another madhab as you. Alhamdulillah, all is good. Whether you do رَفْعِ يَدَيْن, whether you don't do رَفْعِ يَدَيْن, just pray 5 times a day, be sincere to Allah Azza wa Jal, love His Messenger. These trivial differences, let them be discussed at an academic level to those who are into the field of Islamic fiqh and legal theory. And inshallah, with that, we move on to the next caller.